In this episode, we have the incredible honor of talking with master storyteller, Kristen Hanna.
Kristen Hanna is the award-winning and best-selling author of more than 20 novels, including reader favorites Firefly Lane, Winter Garden, The Great Alone, and The Four Winds, and the international blockbuster The Nightingale, which was named Goodreads Best Historical Fiction Novel for 2015 and won the coveted People's Choice Award for Best Fiction in the same year.
Welcome to the first 50 pages, Kristen.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So just a quick full circle moment for Jen and I on the first 50 pages. In our very first episode in 2018, we talked about the best books of the year and the most in-demand books of the year. And The Great Alone topped that list for our library. It was the most sought-after book that year. It felt like everyone wanted to read it. In February it was a very cool experience.
Yeah.
So in February of this year, you released your newest book, The Women, and this one has had the same kind of buzz for us that we saw with The Great Alone. It has more requests than any book that we've had for quite a while. And I'm just going to call it right now, The Women will be one of the most requested and talked about books for us this year.
Well, thank you. I thank your readers. That's great.
And I just brought up, our library and most of the libraries across the state of Iowa subscribe to Libby. And I just brought up for our consortium, we have over 1,400 people on hold for the audiobook. So it's pretty incredible. I haven't seen, people wanting to read a book like that since I've started.
And we have so many people that come in, they're like, I haven't read a book in a while, but my friend told me about this author, that told me about The Women. Do you possibly have that one? And I was like, well, we do have it, but you're probably going to be waiting just a little bit to get your hands on it. But
we have lots of copies of it, so that's great.
I guess the good news is that it appears to be a pretty fast read, so hopefully it's a quick turnover for your patrons.
Yes.
I think they've got their fingers crossed. For our readers that don't know about The Women, could you tell us a little bit about your latest book?
Sure. So this novel, for the last couple of years, sort of for people who don't know me, I have been writing about women's lost stories. Stories, usually historical, that haven't really talked about what the women were doing and are highlighting our courage, our grit, our resilience. And The Women is another one of those novels. This is about the women who served in the Vietnam War, the American nurses primarily who served in the Vietnam War. And it's their story of both going to war and then coming home to a very changed and divided America and their struggle to sort of grow up after serving in the war.
That's a very good condensed, because there's so much in this book. So not only are your characters memorable, but as a reader, we are taken to the time and place of your stories. In The Women, you bring us into this very specific era of time surrounding the Vietnam War, in part through fashion, music, hairstyles, and pop culture references. And for some readers, this is going to evoke very strong memories. And for younger readers, it really must be like time travel. And so my question, I'll get to the question. What was the research process like for you in writing this book?
You're right. I mean, I think that one of the reasons that people love my books in general and are loving this book in particular is the care I take with time and place and the really... my goal of transporting you to this era, whether you lived through it or you didn't. You know, my job is to really recreate it. And in this one, obviously, this is the first time that I had written a historical novel that would be read by a lot of people who had actually lived through the time period and had a lot more firsthand knowledge of it than I did. So it was a pretty daunting undertaking to recreate this. And, you know, there was a lot of sort of generalized research, and then there was a lot of specific research where I spoke to Vietnam era nurses and pilots and doctors and veterans to make sure that my Vietnam War portion of this book was as accurate and as authentic as it could be. And you're right that a big part of all of this is the music and the clothing and the contemporary news stories of the day, because all of those things are a real shortcut, I think, to bringing an era to mind. And especially the music of the 60s and 70s is so beloved and remembered by everyone. You know, even my son, you know, listens to Pink Floyd and the Beatles and, you know, the songs of the era. So that was a really fun component to bring back into the story to create the environment.
In preparation for this interview this morning, I was listening to the Spotify playlist for the women. Yeah. And it really does. You know, I'm like, yeah, of course the song should be there. Yes. You know, it's just another cool dynamic that brings a story to life.
Well, no, I was just going to say, I think a lot of this goes back to my early reading, you know, my times in the library as a kid reading fantasy and loving, you know, the world building of The Lord of the Rings or Dune or these kinds of stories. And I think I've really carried that sensibility into my own historical novels.
Kelsey and I really do experience that the best storytellers have been readers. You know, they just get it.
Yeah.
And readers are going to feel a lot of emotions throughout this book, speaking from experience, you know, from the horrors of the Vietnam War. You really don't pull any punches. And some of those scenes are really hard, you know, all the way to the way that the women veterans of the war were treated when they came home. You know, you kind of talked a little bit about the challenge of research, but was the challenge of writing this book more difficult because of those scenes?
Well, you know, as you point out, the Vietnam section of the book where my female characters and my heroine, Frankie, are nurses in a MASH unit not far from the fighting, it was really important to me to honor the nurses and the doctors and the patients and everybody who had been there by showing it for what it was, which meant that it was very visceral, and there are a lot of sort of difficult scenes. But one of the reasons I kept coming back to doing it in such an honest and authentic way is because when these nurses came home, a lot of them had sort of, you know, they were sort of forgotten and nobody was paying attention to them. And many of them came home with undiagnosed, untreated PTSD, and there was nowhere for them to go for help. But when they did try to get help, they were often told either there were no women in Vietnam or you weren't in combat. How can you possibly have suffered any emotional trauma? You know, just go on and you'll forget about it. And so it was very important for me to show what these nurses had lived with on a daily basis and why, in my opinion, it is definitely should be considered combat.
And it was, you know, those scenes, like you said, honest and authentic. Those are great words because you definitely feel that. And then when, you know, later in the book, they're told they weren't in combat. You really feel that frustration and that
invalidation of what they felt and what they went through.
And you feel that injustice. So, yeah, there's a lot of emotions to, you know, in this book. True to form, I think, but so.
Well, and you know what? These women, I've met so many of them now, you know, since writing the book and while during the writing of the book, and they're so remarkable and their service was remarkable. And as I said, they have been, you know, overlooked and not talked about, you know, for such a long time. And I really feel honored to be able to bring this story forward and to shine a light on their service. And not just the women, by the way, even though the book is about the women who serve the nurses, it's really also in a way the story of the male vets as well, who of course came home to the same kind of, you know, divided America and the same difficulties in terms of no gratitude or recognition of their service either.
So looking back, your writing has definitely evolved over the 20 novels that you've written. Your early books kind of lean a little bit more historical romance, but it seems that you've really found your voice as a writer and a loyal following of readers when you started writing historical fiction and especially writing about the lost history of women. Could you talk a little bit about this evolution, and was there a catalyst or a specific moment that made you want to write in a different genre?
You know, really, it's just, it's really sort of the evolution of my life as a woman. And, you know, I wrote my first published book, I think, when I was 29. And so, you know, when I started this, I was a young woman, a new mother, fairly newly married. And, you know, so I wrote about, and I have written about all along, about women and our struggles and the constraints upon us and what it takes for us to find our voice, whether that is as a stay-at-home mom, as a career woman, later as, you know, an empty nester. And then I think when I reached a certain age, probably roughly 50, my son, of course, was gone. And, you know, my husband and I were empty nesters, and we were able to begin traveling a bit finally, you know, as you can do after your kids are gone. And I think that's when I started looking outward more. I started thinking more about not just women like me, but women in general, and what our histories had to say about people. And once I started looking at that, I realized that of all the history I knew and all the history I had read about, very little of it centered on primarily what the women were doing. And so my first foray into it was a book called Winter Garden about the women in Leningrad during World War II, when they were cut off. And that was sort of the beginning of this understanding that there were women's stories out there that needed to be told. And I've spent the last, you know, 10 or 15 years writing about those.
And I think your readers can definitely like feel that come through in your writing. And I think that maybe is one of the reasons, besides your master storytelling, that endears you to them, that you can feel that passion. And, you know, then they're avid readers of historical fiction, so they have a passion for it too. So I think they kind of relate to you in that way.
I think so too. And I think also we are living in a really wonderful time in terms of the literature that's out there. We are in a time, for the first time that I can remember, where publishers and readers and booksellers, where everyone is actively looking for lost or marginalized stories. And I think it's so important to bring all of these stories to life to sort of just, you know, correct the American record and talk about what other people have been doing and, you know, other groups' struggles and triumphs. Because I think the more we read about each other, the more we have empathy, the more we understand, the more likely I think we are to come together instead of to remain apart.
And I think even in, as we purchase books for our library, we do see so much more that is available, I'd say, than even, you know, 5-10 years ago.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Which brings new people into the library,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, so it's really an expansion of community. You know, the expansion of history is the expansion of community. And I just think that's, you know, so important. And you can do this, you know, library by library across the country.
So as we've mentioned, you've written 20 novels. I don't know where I've been for the last 15 years, but I've only recently started reading your books. And I don't know, for me, I feel like sometimes when everyone's reading a book, I often think it can't possibly be as good as the hype. But I'm going to go on record to say that I am loving your books and I love the women. And now I'm just delighted that I have so many more of your books that I will get to enjoy. But when I
can keep you busy.
Yes. But what I've discovered is that when I tell someone that I'm reading your books, if they've read you, then they want to talk about your books. Readers do feel an emotional connection to your characters, these strong women who survive against extraordinary circumstances. And Frankie, you know, wow, what a character. And Frankie McGrath, you know, she's young, you know, so young. You know, you have to remind yourself how young she is as you're reading the story when she goes to war by choice, right? She doesn't always make good decisions, but we're always rooting for her. And, you know, I guess, so here's the question, right, as I'm talking about your book. Where do you find inspiration for your characters?
Well, that's a very, you know, character by character, book by book answer. But let's take the last 15 years or so from Winter Garden. So primarily women of a historical era surviving in that time. What I am looking for is the creation of a woman who really strongly represents the stories of her time. So Frankie is not obviously based on anybody, but she is based on a collection of memoirs and stories about the real women who served as army nurses in Vietnam, as are, you know, my other historical characters. And so I'm looking for the woman that is most like the women who she represents. And that led me to, you know, young. They were, as you point out, they were very young. And I did have to keep reminding myself as I was writing this, okay, she's 21 years old. She's, you know, she has very little life experience. She comes from a very conservative and privileged background. And she's been raised on family stories of patriotic pride in World War II. And so, you know, she very impulsively decides to follow her brother to service in Vietnam and expects to be, to make her parents proud as her brother made them proud. And so it is really her journey, as it was many of the women who actually did this. It was, you know, their journey to go to war, to become seasoned combat nurses, and then come home and try to maneuver through this changed America and this country that really just didn't want to talk about the war or their service and the price these women and these veterans paid for that. So she is my attempt to be as honest and as authentic as I can be in telling the story so that it really represents these women's service.
Definitely. The transformative power of female friendships and the relationships between women is a theme in many of your novels and yet another reason why I think your books resonate so deeply with so many women. And in reading the women, the love of the sister nurses have for one another is a constant. You explore other kinds of love in this story, love of country, familial love, romantic love, self-love, but the love between these friends is really inspiring. In your research, did you find this to be true for the female veterans?
Yeah, I mean, I really do think that the female friendship here is the beating heart of this book. It's It's what keeps Frankie going. It's what matters most, I think, in terms of relationships. Although, as you point out, there's a lot of different levels of love stories in this book. But yeah, you know, we're all used to seeing and to reading stories about male camaraderie during wartime. And I think it is sort of universally true that when you put these young people in this situation that is so intense and so dangerous and so emotional, that the bonds that they make are powerful. And I think especially in women, this kind of friendship can be unbreakable, almost a soulmate kind of friendship and love. And that's what, you know, that's what these women share. And I was fortunate enough last November to go to Washington, D.C. for Veterans Day, where I met Diane Carlson Evans, who wrote a book called Healing Wounds about her Vietnam service and is the founder of the Women's Vietnam Memorial. And I saw, you know, these veterans, these female veterans come together at their own memorial on Veterans Day. And, you know, they were laughing and crying and hugging and sharing stories and introducing their families. And you could just see that not only did they have this unbreakable bond with the women they'd served with, but simply their shared experience created a bond among women who hadn't even met before. And it was a really powerful and moving moment to see that.
Straying off of the book a little bit, but kind of staying in the same vein, would you mind sharing in what ways the women in your life have shaped your writing?
Well, I mean, that's why I write so much about, I think, female relationships. I mean, friendship, to start on friendship, it has been sort of the thing that has kept me afloat a great deal during the ups and downs of my life, certainly in young motherhood. You know, that's when most of my core girlfriends came together. We were either, you know, young mothers or young writers or, you know, some kind of connection. And I have very much, you know, my tribe that is really important to me. And so I'm constantly, I guess, supporting this idea that female friendship is important. And I was just talking to my best friend the other day about the fact that, you know, to have the kind of female friendships that you need in your life takes work, in the same way that motherhood takes work and being married takes work. You know, you have to prioritize these relationships. And so I think I'm always trying to remind women to prioritize these relationships and to make time for your girlfriends, even when, you know, you're at the stages of your life where you feel that you have no extra time at all.
Yeah. In reading through this book, one of the things that sort of sat in the back of my mind is I need to reach out to my friends.
Yeah.
I can be a better friend. I can, you know, I need to be there, you know, not because I want to, you know, because we want to be there for each other. And yeah, that was a really good takeaway for me from this book.
I love that. I mean, that just means so much to me. I remember when my son was about, I don't know, gosh, probably 25 or 26, he read my novel Firefly Lane, and which is my book about a young mother suffering from breast cancer and, you know, how that impacts her family, which is a story that's very close to my heart, actually. And, you know, he called me afterwards and I could tell how moved he was. And he said, you know, I just wanted to call and tell you how much I love you. Mm-hmm. And I thought that's, you know, that's what my books are really about. The reminder to call the people that you love, because A, you never know how long they'll be there. And B, it keeps you connected and keeps those relationships on the front burner.
One of the things that we love to talk about on the first 50 pages is the power of stories for readers. And I believe that the memorable books that we read, the stories that stay with us, are the ones that change us. the stories that open our eyes, help us to learn, make us feel things. And as I mentioned, I just finished reading The Women last night, and thoughts about her are still kind of bouncing around in my head. The writing is incredible. But I do want to just quick shout out to Julia Whalen's narration of the audiobook. As always, she just adds a depth to the characters that I don't know that I can find on my own. She's just the best, you know. Love listening to her
work. I am incredibly grateful for her. She does an amazing job.
Yeah. And we actually had one of our earlier episodes, we had the chance to chat with her, and she's just fantastic. But it's always a delight to make those connections. I didn't know she was necessarily going to be the narrator of the book, and then to have her be the narrator, it just kind of brings us, you know, a full circle moment, and we just love that. But as I'm thinking about The Women, it really is a book that starts conversations in book clubs, in families, and hopefully in our communities. As you travel and talk about this book with different groups, are you seeing this impact?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I feel like I've been, you know, kind of a book club favorite for a long time. So I'm used to my book, you know, The Nightingale sparked a lot of conversations. And just like I'm trying to get people to reach out and call their mother, their sister, their best friend, I'm also trying to encourage families to tell their own stories to each other, because all too often our family stories are lost because they either aren't asked about or aren't talked about. And in this book in particular, while I was on book tour, you know, meeting people and talking to readers, I was hearing so much from particularly veterans and their families about, you know, stories that needed to be told about their parents or their grandparents' service in Vietnam, and people feeling, I guess, saddened that they didn't know these stories, both their own stories and sort of America's stories. And I think these Vietnam veterans have waited a very long time to have their stories brought to light and to have their service talked about and remembered. And, you know, one of the biggest thematic points of this book is the importance of remembrance, the importance of gratitude. And so I'm thrilled to sort of see the conversations that this book is starting among people of all ages.
But I was sitting down with my parents the other day, and my uncle had been in Vietnam, and I asked my mom, you know, questions about it, you know, and, you know, you could tell that she, you know, took a step back and thought about it, you know, and then she talked really honestly about when he came home, and it was powerful.
I hope that stays in the podcast. It's so important. It really is.
But it is. It's just, you know, I wouldn't have asked that question had I not read the book and, you know, and got to follow Frankie's character, you know, arc, you know, and to have that sort of emotional connection. So, yeah. Anyway, it was. I even got a little tear in my eye now.
She did.
But, so, you know, one more question. What are the books that have stayed with you as a reader?
Oh, of course, you know.
We're librarians. We have to ask the
reader,
question.
So this is like, you know, this is a long list that goes back decades. But the ones that, I mean, there's so many, but let's start with The Lord of the Rings, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Dune, I went through my Stephen King years. I love his stuff. The Witching Hour, Interview with a Vampire, Anne Rice, there was that era. Pat Conroy, who I love. Carlos Ruiz Zafón, Shadow of the Wind, one of my favorites. I would say William Kent Kruger, Alice Hoffman. What is one I've really loved lately? There's a book called We Begin at the End by Chris Whitaker. I love that. So those are a few of them.
Those are all great ones.
Yeah. And your website has some really great and fun information about you, some great interviews. So if people want, you know, more about you, you know, it's there. And I encourage them to, you know, seek it out, because it, you know, it's just another way that people feel connected to you, because you're a real human.
I'm also pretty active on Instagram and Facebook as well. And that's been a fun place. Those have been fun places in the last couple of years to hear from readers, especially, you know, during the COVID era when we couldn't leave. And so it was really nice to get to talk to readers and hear their thoughts on those forums as well.
Yeah, that's got to be kind of a fun dichotomy to be able to interact with them in that way. And of course, when readers love an author, they can become a little bit obsessed about, you know, what's next. But I think we'll leave you with our best wishes to enjoy the whirlwind of the release of such an incredible, incredible book. We loved The Women, and we are thrilled to have gotten to talk with you today.
Thank you so much, as am I. And thanks to all your readers, and I hope they don't spend too long on the waiting list.
Well, no, it actually, you know, the more readers, then the more copies of the book that we get. So I think when I put myself on the wait list, you know, here's the hope. I was 200th in line, but I got the audiobook before our interview. So it goes fast. It does go fast. Not fast enough, because now everyone's going to want to read your book even more after listening to this.
But. Well, thank you. And I will give Julia your best.